Armstrong, the all-American boy.
Wave the flag for Hudson High, boys. Show them how we stand. Ever shall our team be champions, known throughout the land.
Wheaties, breakfast of champions, bring you the thrilling adventures of Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. Look, if someone would invent a gadget that would let the radio listener, that's you, talk back to the announcer, that's me, you'd probably hear something like this today. Fellows and girls, if you'd like to get in on one of the best-tasting breakfast dishes I know...
You better call Wheaties, right, Mr. McCormick?
Who said that?
It's me, Larry. I'm sitting right here at home.
I'll be doggone.
Okay, Mr. McCormick, go right ahead with your announcement.
Thanks, Larry. Well, as I was just about to say, that combination of Wheaties, milk, and fruit is a real champion for flavor.
That's for sure. Well, I say when you taste the key malty flavor of Wheaties and milk and the flavor of the fruit you like best, you've got a dish that tops them all in the taste department.
That's putting it mildly, Larry. A breakfast of champions, fellows and girls, gives you the kind of extra good flavor that ought to make second helpings just about a regular thing at your breakfast table. What's more...
Pardon me, Mr. McCormick, but time's a-wasting. And flavor is just one of the reasons why so many fellows and girls eat a breakfast of champions every morning.
That's right, Larry. There's another point that ought to make a big hit with every one of Jack Armstrong's friends. You see, a breakfast of champions gives you the kind of nourishment that helps make an athlete a real winner. And that means...
That means all the well-known essential nourishment of real whole wheat.
Right. In Wheaties, you get every bit of the well-known essential nourishment nature packs into the whole wheat berry. Well, Larry, that's about all I've got to say. Anything you want to add?
Just one thing, Mr. McCormick. I think it'd be a great idea if every one of Jack Armstrong's friends had a big breakfast of champions tomorrow morning.
Hey, that's an A-number one suggestion, Larry. How about it, fellas and girls? Join Larry and millions of Jack Armstrong's friends in a keen-tasting, nourishing breakfast of champions tomorrow morning for sure.
It's a date, Mr. McCormick.
And now, Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. Jack, Billy, Betty, and Uncle Jim are returning to the schooner Spindrift, which is tied up at the army dock in the Philippine town of Zamboanga in Mindanao. Near the Spindrift, but anchored out from the waterfront, is a Philippine coasting schooner owned by the unprincipled trader Yates. Yates has recently visited Jack aboard the Spindrift and acted in such a suspicious manner that Jack and Billy and Betty went up to the army post at Pettit Barracks to get Uncle Jim. Now, as they approach the dock, Uncle Jim is trying to figure out what mischief Yates has in mind. Listen.
Let me get this straight now, Jack. When Yates and his Moro came aboard the Spindrift, he was very much interested in what we'd just unloaded on that army truck.
That's right, Uncle Jim. Of course, he didn't know anything about the lost uranium which we recovered and which the army's going to keep for us.
But he was awfully curious about that army truck, Uncle Jim.
Then he said that he was using his trading schooner to collect and sell spices.
That's just what he said, Uncle Jim. He tried awfully hard to make us believe him, too.
That's very important, especially since we know that the native spice dealer here in Zamboanga was wearing Professor Loring's wristwatch.
Uncle Jim... Maybe that spice dealer was lying when he said he got that watch from an old Moro peddler. Maybe he got it from Yates. Maybe Yates knows whether Professor Loring is dead or alive.
No, Billy. The spice dealer did get the watch from an old Moro peddler. We found that to be true. But to get back to Yates, what did he do then?
He tried to open the hatch to the main hold of the schooner and see what was inside. We didn't let him. And Billy and Michelle and I made him and his Moro leave the schooner.
Was that when he told the Moro that they'd come back later?
That's it, Uncle Jim. Yates didn't know that Michelle understood the dialect. So he told the Moro in dialect that they'd come back later and see if we had any rifles aboard.
That's odd. That's very odd. Maybe you're right, Jack.
Jumping chimney, Uncle Jim. You think there's a chance that Yates may be using this spice trading as a blind? You think he may really be trying to get some guns into the hands of those tribes up in the hills?
There's a chance of it, Billy. We know that someone's stirring up these tribes. We know that the Moro Sultan below is trying to organize a rebellion against the government. And we think that the old Moro peddler came up here from the interior of Mindanao, where Sultan Balo or someone else is holding Professor Loring captive.
If we could only get on board Yates' schooner, we could soon find out if he was just trading in spices.
Jack, I don't see Michelle on board our ship, and we told him to wait for us.
Maybe he's below deck somewhere, Betty. Hi, Michelle. We're coming aboard. That'll bring him up.
He doesn't answer, Jack.
Maybe he couldn't hear us below, Billy. We'll go aboard and see where he is. Watch his gangplank. It's steep and slippery. You go first, Betty. Watch your step.
Oh, gangplank is slippery. I do hope nothing's happened to Michelle. Michelle?
Oh, nothing's happened to them unless Yates and that Morrow came back.
Michelle would put up a good fight if they tried to come back aboard. Watch out, Billy. Let Uncle Jim get aboard.
I'm all right, Billy. Feels good to be on deck again. Michelle, are you on board?
Jack, I don't believe he is on board.
But he must be, unless something's happened to him.
Jack, the main hatch cover has been pulled to one side. Did you do that?
Why, the hatch cover is off. It was on tightly when we left the ship, Uncle Jim.
Oh, Uncle Jim, that means that Yates and Ed Morrow did come back. Oh, I just know something terrible's happened to Michelle.
Yates came back all right. He said he was going to come back and see what was in our main hold.
How long were you gone from the ship, Jack?
Well, I didn't look at my watch, Uncle Jim. Wait a minute. I can tell you how far we walked with this speedometer Lieutenant Rawlings gave me. Here, it's on my belt. We've walked exactly 2.25 miles to Pettit Barracks and back. That'd take about 50 minutes. And we were there about 10 minutes. We've been gone just an hour, Uncle Jim.
That'd give Yates plenty of time to come back to the schooner and overpower Michelle.
But gee, Whitaker, Jack, what did he do with Michelle?
Maybe Michelle is bound and gagged in the main cabin, Billy. The companion hatch is open. Let's go below and look.
Yates must have had that Morrow with him. He couldn't handle Michelle alone.
I'll bet Michelle put up a swell scrap at that.
Boy, look at this, Billy. Look at this cabin. Chump and chimney, it looks as though a typhoon had romped around in it.
This is where the fight took place, Billy. Yates got Michelle below on some pretext so nobody on shore could see them.
But there's no sign of Michelle.
Come on, Billy. Let's go above and tell Uncle Jim.
Maybe Michelle is tied up in the main hold, Jack.
Or maybe Yates took him away, Billy.
Is Michelle in the main cabin, Jack?
No, he's not, Uncle Jim. But that's where he tried to fight them off. The whole cabin's turned inside out.
But where is he? I've just looked in the main hold. He's not there. Bet he's looking in the forward cabin.
Here she comes. Is Michelle in your cabin, Betty?
No, he's not, Jack.
Then he must be aboard Yates' schooner, Uncle Jim. They tied him up, gagged him, and took him aboard in their Vita.
Look, Jack. Look over there at Yates' schooner. They're hoisting anchor.
And there are a couple of men on deck hoisting sail, too, Uncle Jim. Michelle must be aboard that schooner, and they're about to leave.
Oh, we can't let them run away with Michelle.
Look sharp, everyone. We're going to intercept them and get Michelle back. Betty, go to the jib and stand by to raise it. I'll get the foresail out of stops and ready to raise. Jack, you and Billy get this mainsail ready. All right, get to it.
I'll start at this end and unfurl the mainsail. Billy, you work from the other end.
I wish we had these sails all ready to go up. Look at Yates' schooner. He's got his mainsail and jib up and he's underway. He'll have his foresail up in just a second.
He won't get away, Billy. The Spindrift can sail rings around that Filipino tub of his.
Yeah, I guess he didn't expect us back so soon. He thought that he'd be gone before he came back. But I wonder why he took Michelle back with him.
Well, maybe he thought Michelle knew too much. There, my half of the sail's out of stops.
So's mine, Jack. She's all ready to hoist.
We're all ready to raise the mainsail, Uncle Jim.
The foresail's all set, too, Jack. How about that jib, Betty?
She's all ready to raise, Uncle Jim.
Raise your jib, Betty. I've cast off the bowline. Jack, you cast off the stern line. We let the jib swing our bar around, then we'll hoist all sail.
Come on, Billy. You haul in the gangplank while we cast off the line.
Jib's going up, Uncle Jim.
All right, Betty. Belay the halyard and give it an easy sheet.
This gangplank is heavy, but I'm getting it.
The stern line's off, Uncle Jim.
All right, Jack, the bowline's off. When the bow swings, you and Billy hoist the mainsail.
Need any help, Billy?
No. The gangplank's aboard, Jack. I'll come and lend a hand with the mainsail.
I'll take the peak halyard, Billy.
Okay, I'll get the throat halyard. Wait for me.
Here, I've got both halyards free. Take the throat. Ready? Up we go.
Yates' schooner's under full sail, Jack. They're heading out to sea.
It won't take us long to overtake them, Billy. That schooner's half as broad as she is long. She pushes the whole ocean before her.
Jiminy, Jack. I hope Michelle is safe.
He'd better be.
Maybe Michelle can learn something important that they don't know that he can understand their dialect.
I was thinking of that, Billy. He may be able to find out a whole lot about Yates.
There. That's as high as I can get the throat. I'll make it fast.
And the peak's all the way up. Look, Uncle Jim has the foresail up. We're picking up speed.
Take the wheel, Jack. Billy, you stay with him to handle sheets.
Aye, Uncle Jim. Trim in your main sheet some, Billy. I'm going to point a little ahead of Yates' schooner.
And she comes, Jack. Say when.
A little more, Billy.
Okay.
Just the way Uncle Jim has the foresail trim. There, that's enough.
Okay. We are going faster than Yates' old tub.
We'll overhaul him in no time, Billy.
You're pointing just right, Jack. Hold that course.
Aye, Uncle Jim. Watch your step, Betty.
Did I trim the jib sheet all right, Jack?
It's trimmed just right, Betty. We'll overhaul that antique barge before you know it.
Oh, I hope they haven't hurt Michelle. I hope we get him back all right.
We'll get him back all right, Betty.
Look at the excitement on the deck of Yates' schooner, Jack. Some of the Morrows are arguing with Yates.
They know what we want. I'll bet they're trying to persuade Yates to let Michelle go.
But, Uncle Jim, aren't you going to board the schooner and see what Yates is up to?
Not unless we have to save Michelle, Billy. That'd be piracy. We'll let the proper authorities handle Yates.
Look, Jack. Aren't they bringing Michelle up on deck? Isn't that he?
It certainly looks like him. What's going on aboard that schooner?
Why, they're making Michelle jump overboard.
Oh, he's jumped. He's swimming toward us. Won't the sharks get him?
There's a chance of that, Betty, but Michelle's one man who's not afraid of a shark. Change your course a little, Jack. There, that's just right. We'll pick him up in a moment.
Trim the main sheet a little, Billy. I'm getting off the wind a trifle.
Okay.
There, that's enough. Betty, tie a bowline in that line, will you? We'll need it to haul Michelle aboard.
All right, Jack. Oh, I hope a shark doesn't get him.
Give me the wheel, Jack. I'll come up into the wind alongside of Michelle. You and Billy haul him aboard.
Here you are, Uncle Jim. We're getting pretty close to him.
We'll pick him up right here at the stern. Stand by. I'm muffing up. All right, Jack. We're swinging into Michelle. Look sharp.
That's perfect, Uncle Jim. You got him right alongside.
Here, Michelle. Here's the line. Slip your foot through the bite of the bowline and we'll haul you on board.
All right, Senor Jack. Me hold on. You pull me up.
Come on, Billy. Lend a hand. Hey, hold.
Okay.
Heave. Watch it, Billy. Not too hard.
Okay, okay.
There. Get hold of the rail. Give me your hand, Michelle. Up you come. Put your foot in the chart. There you are.
Oh, Michelle, I was afraid a shark might get you.
Me no afraid sharks. Me no afraid Yates either.
What happened to you, Michelle?
Yates and Morrow come aboard. They want see what in ship. Me try no let them. They come aboard anyway. Me go into cabin, get something for hit them with. They come in cabin, both them, and get me. They tie me up. They put cloth in mouth.
And they took you to their schooner. Tell us, Michelle. Could you find out anything while they held you prisoner?
Me find out plenty much. Me listen. They no think me understand, but me understand whole lot.
But chump and giraffe, Michelle, tell us what you learned. Is Yates really in the spice business?
He got spice on board. He sells spice.
But is that all he has on board, Michelle?
That all he got on board now, Señor Jack. But me listen. Me know he bring other things to Zamboanga.
Other things? What other things, Michelle?
He bring rifle. He bring ammunition. Rifle go up in hill country.
Chomping crickets, you were right, Jack. You guessed it right.
What else did you learn, Michelle?
Yates no understand what you do here. He think maybe you bring rifle too. He think maybe you bring rifle for give other tribes that want help soldiers.
So that's why he was so interested in it. One thing more, Michelle. Did you learn anything about the old Moro peddler that brought Professor Loring's watch to Zamboanga?
Me no learn much about him, Señor Jack. But me think he bad man too. Me think we find out something more about him.
That's just what we're going to do, Michelle. We're going up into the hill country and find this Moro peddler and see what he knows about Professor Loring. But first, we're going back to Pettit Barracks to tell the Army what we know about Yates. Look sharp, everyone. Trim all sheets. We're going back to the dock, and then we're going to find this old Moro peddler.
Did you hear that? Jack and Uncle Jim and the others are going into the wild hill country to find that Moro peddler. Say, there's some strange connection between that peddler and Yates and the native spice seller who had Professor Loring's watch. It looks as if this search for a clue of the missing Professor Loring will lead to a lot more excitement than Jack and Uncle Jim figured on. You'll want to be with them when they get into that dangerous hill country, so be on hand, all of you, at this same time next Monday for another thrilling episode of the Zamboanga Adventure with Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. Now, here's a red-hot tip for some extra pleasure you can have tomorrow afternoon. Along about 3 or 4 o'clock, hike out into the kitchen and help yourself to a heaping big bowl of those keen-tasting Wheaties flakes. Those good whole wheat flakes pack a flavor wallop that just hits the spot in the afternoon. Try Wheaties tomorrow in the middle of the afternoon, won't you?
Have you tried Wheaties? They're whole wheat with all the bran.
This is Franklin McCormick saying goodbye till Monday for General Mills, makers of Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions, who have just presented another episode of Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy.
So just buy Wheaties, the best breakfast food in the land. Wave the flag for Hudson.